Beautiful day out there, beautiful time of spring. You see the greenery starting to come back, things coming back to life. I always enjoy this time of the year because it speaks in numerous ways to our life, to our walk with the Lord. Our life in the Lord sometimes needs to be rejuvenated to sense that essence of life, life that sustains us in Him from within. And this morning, I'd like to study a little bit of a parable that Christ spoke of in this Gospels. Very simple lesson, but something that has a very profound meaning and effect on us if we are willing to listen to it and come into the experience of it. If you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, the parable of the vine, I'd like to read a few the first part of that chapter there. John chapter 15, reading from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Last couple of days this past week, we spent time pruning the few fruit trees that we have. It's an annual ritual, I guess, every year at this time of the year. And whenever I'm doing it, I'm always drawn to this chapter, to this parable of Christ, of the vine, the branches, the husbandman, the pruning, and the fruit. I'd like to go over it a bit this morning, just taking some simple lessons from it. Lessons that apply to us. Lessons that speak a little bit to us as a church, as a body, but definitely profoundly more to us as individuals in our life in Christ. First, establishing the principles that Christ laid out here, principles, maybe is not the correct word, just simply the order, so to speak, of how it is. It's God is the husbandman, Christ is the vine, we are the branches, and the purging is a reason for that, and then the fruit. When you walk into an orchard, a garden, you walk around a house, and often the lady of the house has flower beds, and you look at the flowers, the garden, you see the vegetables and so forth, and you might be taken up with the beauty that you see, the bountiful of the fruit that you see, and there would be within you maybe a reaction of wonder at what you see, but also what when you're looking at that, you think of who put the effort into that. You're not going to go on and this sounds a little bit funny, but think of it in the concept of the scripture we're looking at here. You're not going to walk up to that flower, that rose, and thank that rose for being so beautiful as it is. You're not going to walk up to the apple tree and look at those apples or the pears or grapes or whatever, look at the fruit and speak to the fruit and say, oh, you're just looking so good today. What you've all done, the way you're growing and delicious and really appealing and so forth. No, you're not going to speak to that. You're going to go to the person who's put all the effort into this vegetable garden, this flower bed, this apple orchard, the vinery, the grapevines and all that. You're going to go to that person and applaud that person for the goodness of their efforts that they've put into that brought forth that luscious, delicious-looking fruit. And that's exactly the same here as we look into this lesson here. The first and foremost primary thing and element of this parable is that God is the husbandman. He is the one that does the pruning, but the end result, the fruit, that end result, that fruit bearing or the fruit itself, the glory of that fruit goes back to Him. And let us not forget that. We can get taken up in our own actions and works and duties, and all is right and well and good. Let us not receive the praise into ourselves. It goes back to the husbandman. And let's work down through this to maybe by God's will grasp an understanding of the playing out. Maybe that's the term to use. The playing out, the working out would be better of what God is performing here as the husbandman. Verse 2, Jesus says here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You walk up to that tree with your shears in your hand, and you look over that tree, and the first thing you look for is the dead wood. Branches that are very obviously, the bark is peeling off, it's dead, there's no life in it. So there's no prospect there at all of that branch ever bearing any fruit. Its life is gone. Even so, it's still attached to the main trunk of the tree. It's done for. You take the shears, you cut it off, and you throw it on the pile that's going to get burned. There's no question there. But then you look at the rest of the tree, and it's full of living branches. Branches that have the sap running through it, the sap that's coming from the trunk, from out of the ground. And you have to decide what to cut out. And what are some of the things that the reasons you use, whatever the word would be there, to make the decision what you're going to cut and what you're not going to cut. The point here to make here is very clear. We are now dealing with living branches. Branches that possibly could have the capability of bearing fruit. So if they have that capability, why do you go and cut them out? Why do you go and cut out living branches that are being sustained by the sap, the food from the main trunk, with a capability to bear fruit? Why would you cut them out? This practical physical concept of the pruning maybe doesn't apply quite as much to the spiritual side of it, but there is a small lesson here to be gained. And that is, it goes back again here to the husbandman, or to you or I, if we're looking at this tree to contemplate about pruning it. There's something that we have to have in our mind when we look at this tree to make a decision what gets pruned out, what's going to get cut out. We don't look at that simply from the prospect of as of today and think, well, for today's looks and the design of this tree, we're going to take out this branch, that branch, and that branch. No. We look at it from the concept of down the road. As this tree is going to mature and grow, how do we want this tree to develop out? Now, horticulturally speaking, and I want to make one thing very clear here. I am not a professional, I don't know what the proper name is, to call a person that takes care of an orchard or does this kind of work. Not at all. I've read a few things years by to use a bit of a guideline, but the concept of the between the physical and the spiritual here, I'm always intrigued when I'm out there and doing the pruning at the closeness of these two, the physical and the spiritual. Of all the parables that Christ uses throughout the Gospels, this has got to be one of those that are very, very closely related, that you can compare so distinctly between the physical and the spiritual. Looking at this tree, you want to think down the road how you want this tree to develop. And I'm going to use one tree that's a very prime example, that right from the first year or two after it's planted as a rootstock and it's growing, you want to design that tree for the effect of down the road. And that is the pear tree. And there's different types of pears, I realize that. And I don't know if they're all similar or not, but the ones that we've had in our orchard, they have a tendency just to want it to grow up. Just their branches just keep going up, 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 up. And for the simplicity of picking the fruit, for the simplicity of getting the proper type of fruit from it, you want the tree to fold outward for two reasons. One is obviously for the benefit of making it easier to retrieve the fruit from the tree. The second of it is that as you get the tree to grow outward, it opens up more of an area that the sunlight can penetrate into the tree. If you have it all grouped together and tight and going straight up, you're enclosing the tree in, that creates a tremendous amount of shade within that the sunlight can't penetrate in. So you prune a tree with the design of thinking down the road how you want this tree to develop in years to come if it stays alive. God does the same thing. I don't think we'd really have to look at that so much, but consider within your own life. From the day that you came to the Lord and accepted the gift of His salvation, the day that you received Him into your heart, you were born again, God has a very distinct interest in your development, your spiritual development, a very great interest in your spiritual development. He's looking down the road. God can see the end from the beginning. He wants you to develop. Like, we've got His Word here in front of us, and we can read and we can study the Word, and there's so much lessons in there to gain from that. But as you commit yourself to the Lord and you lay yourself into His hands and simply pray, Lord, here am I. I'm a young spiritual child, just a babe in You. And as I begin to grow here, Lord, you develop me. I'm not sure if I understood that concept clearly in my spiritual youth, as what I can look back today and definitely testify to that. God has an intense interest in each of us as an individual for today, for tomorrow, for next year, and for all the years what God will bless us to live upon this earth, to develop us. And what is this developing? What is he so interested in? This whole parable here is connected to fruit bearing. And we'll come to that, what the fruit actually is. But God's looking down the road as he prunes you and looks to develop you. He's looking at down the road. He has a picture what he wants you to be in years to come down the road. So there's going to be some things here that I think for each one of us, I know for myself, to study this and the spiritual aspect of it, but also to be out there in the orchard with a living tree and making these considerations, what needs to be cut off? What needs to be cut off that's actually creating a hindrance for further fruit bearing? And let's be very clear here and understand here what Jesus is saying. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. So that can be a dead branch, something that is totally useless, no concept of ever bearing any kind of fruit. No questions, it's gone, it's out. But then he says, and here's his point. In the end of verse 2, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's the question. And taking some, this is a branch. Looking at it in the physical aspect, it's a branch that's got life in it. You know, you can go up to it and you can bend it around. If it's dead, it just bend it a bit, cracked, broke, gone. You can take a living branch and there's flexibility to it. There's life there. And it's attached to, here would be the grape to the vine, or it's attached to the trunk of the tree. Why does that kind of a branch have to be cut off? Let's not steer too far away from the word here. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm not too real familiar with them. We have a couple of grapevines, and they need to be pruned too. I've read already, and this is not by experience, this is just simply, I guess you could call it some kind of head knowledge, that of all the different plants that need the most severest pruning in the springtime, or I should maybe say get the most benefit from being pruned, are the grapevines. And I remember it was quite some years ago. I don't know where we're going, doesn't matter. We're driving down through the Niagara Peninsula, down the QEW, and there's a lot of grapevine along beside that highway, and it was this time of the year, possibly earlier, and there was a distinct thought that went through my mind as we're going, heading out there, that in these grape vines, there was just a bare, stark branch coming up out of the ground, but it was in the middle of the wiring system and all that, where all the branches would be crawling on. And there's two thoughts that I remember that stuck in my mind. One was that just this brown, hard vine standing there, but yet it was all connected together with all this wire system, with the obvious point there that that plant is going to grow and that there's going to be a lot of branches filling out there with all the leaves. And I go down in that part of the country every fall to get some grape juice and right to a farm that has acres and acres of grape vines. And yes, that's when you see everything is grown out full. So what is the reason for cutting this all back? What enhances the fruit? If you've ever gone out and seen a wild apple tree, we have a few in our farm and fence rows out in the back. And in the fall, when there's apples on them, but the tree is just totally densely full of branches, these little branches all over the place. Just be literally impossible to try to crawl up into that tree. And the fruit, the apples, little 3/4 inch, 1 inch diameter apples, just a whole pile of them, but worthless, basically useless. You prune the tree to get to, with the concept of, again, here now, you're not thinking of years down the road. Now you're thinking about within the concept of time frame that this tree is going to bear fruit. That's 1 year. Now, spiritually speaking, you could look at this and you could think, okay, well, my life is not limited to within a year of bearing fruit. It could be the rest of my life. We'll leave that as it be. You trim out anything that's going to limit fruit bearing. That can be branches that are overlapping and so forth. Any branches that would in any way, shape, or form cut back on fruit bearing. Simply get in the way of, if you see another branch that there's going to be fruit there, and there's a branch that's going to get in the way of that, you cut it out and so forth. You thin it way out, because what you have in mind now is the fruit. You want a fruit that's fully developed. You want to have a fruit that is not just scrawny and small, but fully developed, completely developed out, and you want to have fruit that has got visual appeal. We're not trying to be vain here. We're not trying to be proud. But when you walk into an orchard and you have two trees here, one is this wild tree that's just like I described earlier, and you have a tree that's been nicely pruned out in the springtime, and the fruit that's on it is real fully developed and really delightful to look at, and the appealing is there to partake of it and taste it and eat it. I don't think we have to consider which one we'd pick of. That's true spiritually too. As God, the husbandman, prunes us out, he's pruning us to bring out the effect that the fruit that we bear has an appeal to the people we have to deal with. It's as simple as that. If the fruit that I bear, and we'll come into further into this of what the fruit all is and the bearing of fruit in that, but God wants me and you to have our fruit to that extent that it's appealing to others. And why is that? Okay, well, this would be the place to consider the fruit. Jesus says here, he mentions fruit. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it can bear more fruit. So there's two concepts, it's one concept of fruit bearing, But you could almost say there's two degrees here. There's the fruit, but then there's also more fruit. Or as it says in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." This is my take on this two different degrees of fruit. The first part, where it just simply says we are to bear fruit. There is a list in the Bible, in the New Testament, that lists fruits. And you Bible readers and studiers know what I'm referring to, Galatians chapter 5, where it says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, tenderness, kindness, and so forth. That list there, that is fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And touching here into the Holy Spirit, there's the fruits of the Spirit and there's the gifts of the Spirit. The two are all from the same Spirit, but they're two different. I'll just use the word things. There are two different types of things here. The fruit is not the gifts, and the gifts are not the fruits. It distinctly says the fruits of the Spirit are, and it lists the list. So the way I see that is that where the Holy Spirit is in its entirety and its fullness, and I believe the Holy Spirit is this, where what is the life as it flows forth. Because Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." That river of living water, that life-giving sustenance that flows out of the vine, which is Christ, through the branch to bear the fruit, is the Holy Spirit. We're the branch. That Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, flowing through us, will bear that fruit. That's the fruit. So in my life, what God has planned from the very time that I was first planted in Him, He's pruning me, designing me for the effect of bearing fruit. That my Christian testimony is such that is what bespeaks of the fruits of the Spirit. But then what about more fruit? Well, there, when you walk into the apple orchard, into the vineyard, and you see the fruits, the apples, the grapes hanging there, and you look at that, and you feel blessed. I do. When I walk and I see the blessedness, there's this produce auction, the north end of Elmira, Brother Paul Gary, he knows very well I'm referring to here. Sometimes, depending, I'll be there for other reasons, whatever, straw and hay auction, so forth. But I have a few minutes. I'll walk in there. I'll just walk up and down the aisleways. And I just get so blessed by the abundance of the fruits of the earth there. All the vegetables, the right time of the year, it's just aisles and aisles of the beautiful flowers and all that. The handiwork of the God, the Almighty Husbandman. Spiritually speaking, that's what we're supposed to bear forth from our life. But that fruit doesn't just stay hanging on that tree or on that vine. That fruit is there for a purpose. And that fruit's going to get picked. And it's going to get packaged and it's going to pass on to the end consumer. And the person is going to eat that and receive nourishment. Brothers and sisters, there is the more fruit. God, the husbandman, sending the vitality, that life-flowing, living sustenance of the Holy Spirit through Christ, through us as the vine, to bear the fruits of the Spirit, to bear more fruit, is, physically speaking, the end consumer. Spiritually speaking, is to the world. God has called us to be ambassadors for Christ. As we walk and as we live here in this world, we are living and walking in whose territory? The Bible says Satan's territory. But we are to be ambassadors for him. We're to bear this fruit that it can be, and I used earlier the word visual appeal. Is our Christ-like walk with him in this world, does it have visual appeal to those who can become attracted to it? To the fruit that we bear, the love, joy, peace, tenderness, long-suffering, kindness, and so forth, there will be people out there that become attracted to that. And this is the more fruit, that we can be the instruments of bearing the testimony and the witness of the power of God living through our lives to a lost and a dying world, to attract people to come to the Lord. More fruit. Through the fruit that we bear. And again, stop and consider it. It all goes back to the husbandman who's taking care of the vineyard. Spiritually speaking, the praise, the glory, the honor goes back to the husbandman. Not to me and you. We're just the branch. We're just the element, that conduit that's bearing the life-giving sap, that has the capability of bearing the fruit that God uses in the end result to return the glory to him. So we come back to the pruning. This is the ouch factor, you could say, about this whole principle, this whole parable. In the physical realm of pruning, to do with apple trees, there's these branches, we call them sap suckers. No joke here meant at all. That's literally what they are. They're a living branch. They're connected to the trunk, to the vine. And they're drawing life-giving sustenance out of the vine. But they're not bearing fruit. Physically, in the physical realm here, what I'm speaking here now, you can prune out a tree one spring. And it's always amazing. You come back the following spring and do the same thing. And like you trim out a tree, and you look at it afterwards and you think, well, like that tree now is just almost like a bare skeleton. And you wonder, well, is anything going to grow on this thing at all? And give it time, it will. Come back next year, and it'll be the same ritual all over. It'll be just full of these little thin branches, foot long, couple inches, 2 feet long or whatever. But that's all. It's just one straight branch out there. No buds on it. There's no buds on there that are really any sign of development of any kind of fruit. Spiritually speaking, this is a person. I can be a Christian. I live the right kind of life. I am a spiritually alive. Because I have accepted Christ. I'm a Christian. But the problem is, I'm living just for myself. I'm just all tied in with myself. My life is so that I've heard the terms of terminology. Some Christians are all takers and not no giving. And this is true. I would take just in whatever comes my way of fellowship, of the benefit of church life, just taking it in. And I just hold it within myself, and I just leave it there. As an individual, I'm not a lot of benefit to the body of Christ, to the body, the church body. I'm an individual, I'm there. But God can't use me to flow out, to flow life out. And there's a host of ways that you can flow out. Maybe you look at yourself and you say, well, I've got no gifts. I got all tongue-tied if I walk up to a stranger and begin to try to carry a conversation or so forth and things like that. You're forgetting something. You're just the branch. You're just the branch. You're a carrier of life. You don't control that life. Let the husbandman develop you. God, I feel just as, like I'm totally worthless, totally useless. I'm of no benefit. I present myself to you, O God, that you develop me as you see fit. That's what he wants for each and every one of us, right from the get-go when we've accepted Christ. Here am I, Lord. I maybe have a whole pile of education, but I can see it's totally useless. Or maybe I don't have any education. I can't even read or write my name. God can use you. God can develop you. There's been some profound Christian saints from ages gone by that had selch education, nothing. Christians that were cripples. Christians that could not read anything, they could not read God's word. But God used them in their place to his greater glory. Do not underestimate God's power to work in your life. Not one iota. Your place is to give yourself to him and let him develop you and prune you. And there will be the ouch factors. And what I mean by that, I believe you very well know. As that sapsucker branch, totally worthless because it doesn't bear the fruit, physically, in the physical realm, it gets cut off and out. Spiritually speaking. And here I think of another place where, it's a thought that's just entered my mind, and I forgive me if I don't get the proper wording and so forth. But I think of the time, there was a time there, and my memory serves me right, Christ and the disciples are walking someplace, and they stopped at this, I don't know, it was a fig tree or whatever, and it says it was barren. It wasn't growing anything. And Christ was going to curse that tree and, you know, cut it off. It's worthless. It's useless. And was, I hope I'm getting it correct here. The disciples, they stopped him. They said, "No, just wait a minute. Let's just go and fertilize it and water it and give it a chance for a year or two, and let's see if it bears fruit." Don't look at yourself and think, well, okay, so I'm this useless branch that has not been bearing any fruit, so I guess that's what I am, I'm useless, so God's going to cut me off. No. Go to the Lord and present yourself before Him. And physically speaking, allow Him to fertilize and water you. Spiritually speaking, come to Him and drink of that living water, the Holy Spirit. Allow the flood of what Jesus said back there, those verses they read in John 7, those rivers of living water. But mark the words, you have to come. You have to be thirsty, and you have to drink. Standing in a corner by yourself and pitying yourself is not going to cut it. You're going to have the desire within yourself to take a move, to make a move, and to step it out. And ask the Lord. And I also know there's people that fear that. They're fearful that if they openly, unreservedly present themselves before the Lord, He's going to send me off to the middle of Africa. I don't want to go there. I just couldn't do that. How do you know? How do you know what He's going to do? Just give yourself to Him. Just lay yourself openly before Him and allow Him to work. If that's going to be your calling, to go to the middle of Africa, or just simply to go to the person next door and try to evangelize that person, God is going to prepare you for that. Think of it. Why? Why would God take you if you think you're so totally worthless and you just totally blew it? And you wouldn't know what to do. Why would God send you in that condition with an end result that could probably very well be a total disaster and defamation to His glorious name? God has the end in His mind. And He'll grow you. He'll prepare you for whatever He has in sight for you, for your life. Because He does not want to. I prune that tree with the end result of the fruit. I want to partake of that fruit. And I want to take that some of that fruit, and we're going to put it on our table. And we have guests come in. We're going to present that fruit that they can also partake of it. I'm not going to go out to that wild apple tree that's all full of these skinny little, scrawny little apples and put those apples on a table to try to feed our guests. God's not going to do the same thing either. He's not going to send you totally worthless and unprepared to bear the gospel or to share his name to anybody without preparing you. It's there for you. Take, drink, eat. Be enlivened by him. The pruning will go on for all of life. I still get pruned today. You can take a tree that's just been set in the ground as a young tree, and within the next year, if you want to do it right, and again, like I said, I'm not a professional, you start right at the very beginning to trim out and to grow that tree the way you want to have it when it's 40, 50 years down the road. But just because you prune it the first and second year and then walk away from it and forget about it, that's going to be the way you want it to be 40 years later. Every year it's back there with the pruning shears, every year. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. Every year, all the time, we need to be opened. Lord, if there's something within me that's drawing sustenance out from you, that's just simply for myself and not for the greater good, cut it out. But he'll do it. So what are these pruning shears? So we have the pruning. We have the vine, we have the branches, we have the fruit, we have the more fruit. What are the pruning shears? What is the tool that God uses to do the pruning? Some might say it's affliction. And there is some truth to that. We have the example of the Apostle Paul, the thorn in the flesh, where when he finally came to understand the reason for it all, that he could say at the very end that when I am weak, then am I strong. But God gives us a more clear explanation of what those pruning shears actually are. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 3 here in our text here says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's right here, brothers and sisters. It's the same for everyone. I walk into an orchard, and you have a whole row of bunch of trees. Each tree is individual, but the same principle applies to every tree. You are all individuals out there, but the same pruning shears is right here. And it's to everyone. It's not a different one for you. It's not a different one for me. It's all the same right here. God's word is alive. God's word is something that has a spirit involved with it. God's word is such that I can read it. And I can read it again next week, and I can read the same passage the next week after that, maybe year after that. But when it's God's time in my life, for some pruning, that same word all of a sudden begins to, well, that was meant for me. And I'm not going to take the time this morning, because this morning would not be long enough, and this afternoon and tonight probably wouldn't be either, to try to go down the whole long line of what are the possibilities that might have to be pruned out of our lives. Because that is individual. What God sees within me that's going to be a hindrance to bearing fruit and bearing more fruit that needs to be pruned out could be something different than it could be in your life. But the pruning shears are still the same. And they can be very sharp. And they can hurt. And I've often thought climbing around that tree and snipping out all those branches, you know, that tree is alive. But it's a different life than what we consider human life or even animal life. I've often, it's just a thought, comical if you want to consider it that way, but I thought to myself, you know, I'm doing all that cutting, you know, this tree could talk or scream, I'd have to be wearing earmuffs on all the time when I'm doing that cutting. But it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary. There's another word here in this text here. A word that is used, I didn't count how many times it's here. But in this short text here that we read, it's used more often than anywhere else in the New Testament. A word that doeth well to us if we take heed to it. And simple word of abide. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. This is the connection factor. That we are connected to the vine. We do not carry our own life. Colossians chapter 3 makes it so beautifully clear. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. We are just a branch. We have no life of our own, spiritually speaking. That branch, when it's cut off, though it has life flowing through it, even a branch that can bear fruit and does bear fruit, when it's cut off from the source of life. It does not bear life of itself. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is the meaning of this word abiding. I cannot make it any clearer than that. Abide in him. And Jesus made it very clear. Unless you abide in him, you can have absolutely no prospects of bearing any fruit. You can have absolutely no prospects of being any benefit, of any use to the husbandman. God the Father. And this abiding is continual. Daily, weekly, it's a life. It's a life in him. And that alone we could spend much time with but not this time. I like to close with Ephesians chapter 3. God said that we could abide in His love. Jesus said that we can abide in His love. Unless you think that what we looked at this morning is something that is totally... So I'm just a branch. My purpose is strictly to bear fruit. And this life-giving sustenance of the Holy Spirit flowing through me, that's all I am, just a conduit of this life flowing through me to bear the fruit. Is there nothing there for me? Physically speaking, I could be wrong here, but I can't see any other purpose for a branch. But here's where we step out of the physical and we stay strictly in the spiritual. There is more for you and I. We are the branch. We bear fruit. And we are to bear more fruit for the glory and the total purpose and reason and benefit to God, the husbandman. But let's read here in Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is what we can experience as spiritual individuals, with the life of the Holy Spirit in Christ flowing through us. This is what we benefit, that lowly branch on the tree cannot benefit. This is what we benefit as individuals. We can be the recipients of all the fullness of God. What more do you want? Exactly. What else do you want? If there's something else you want, you could end up being that branch that'll get cut off. Because it all rests in Christ. We have one purpose when we become Christians, and that is simply to give ourselves to God, that He can use us to His greater honor and glory and power. But that does not leave us an empty void. That which we are to get, which we are to be the benefit or the branch that let it flow through us, we can also be the recipients of that. That we can benefit ourselves from the fruits of that Spirit. We can benefit ourselves from the fruit of the Holy Spirit in its power. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye endued with power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power to be victorious in this world. The power to overcome in this world. Overcome what? Overcome Satan. Overcome sin. Overcome that power of me, myself, and I. All the fullness of God to the glory and the benefit of God Himself. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ unto all the ages, world without end. That's for you and me.